It's a Getaway Friday, April the 22nd, 2022, 4/22/22, 14 minutes past the hour, 51 degrees and partly sunny skies here in Marion. What a weekend it's gonna be. So glad to continue on with you this morning, and as long as we keep the phone calls going, we'll stay on. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Had a very interesting conversation in hour number one this morning. It was kind of about radio and radio personalities and insecurities and things of that nature, but really what the conversation was about was insecurities. And I've always said this about any job, and I think it's a fascinating subject, that if you are not willing to quit, if your employer knows that you need that job, they will treat you any way they want to. Because if they know you need it, they have control over you. Now, if they think you're willing to walk away, then they treat you a little differently, because maybe they don't want you to walk away, which is the whole other side of this armchair psychology, is that if you are needed at your job, if you're really important, your employer won't want you to walk away. Because a lot of people will say, I can't afford to lose my job. Okay, well, what's your bargaining chip? To go in to say, I want more money, or I want a promotion, or I want a day off, or if you can't afford to lose your job, and your employer knows that, what do you do? If they say no, what bargaining chip do you have? But on the other side, as I say, if you are integral, if you're doing your job so well that they can't live without you, then you've got them over a bucket. Even though they sign your check, you've got them over a bucket, because they know that if you leave, they're in trouble. So there are three steps in that. The one step in which your employer has all the power, because they know you will never leave and need the job. Then there's the middle step where you do need the job, but you never let them know it, and you are willing to walk away. And then there's the final step, which is you become so integral, they can't do without you, so they will do anything to keep you. And that's hard for an employer to admit, but there are cases where that happens. Anybody have any thoughts on this? I think it's interesting, and heaven knows we spent the first hour talking about it this morning. 740-751-4038. 740-751-4038. Does anybody have any cases of this in their own job, or have seen this throughout their life, or maybe with their kids or grandkids or whatever? It's an interesting time to talk about this right now, because there are so many jobs. So we're getting to the place where, well, for a long time, let me say this, there was a prevailing wisdom for a long time that you're lucky to have this job, no matter where you work. You're lucky to have this job. Well, employers better start changing their attitudes. Because if I can walk over to McDonald's and get a job for $15 an hour, if I can walk over to KFC, if I can walk over to Walmart, if I can, everybody needs help right now. If I can leave the job and get another job, you can't treat me how you want to.
Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller. Sound a little bored out there, Scott.
No, I'm in the middle of a soliloquy.
Okay. Well, employment at will, which I learned when I got terminated from a job, goes both ways. I think that's the way it is, and I've changed my mind. Of course, being self-employed and being older has formed my opinion. But employment at will goes both ways. You don't need a two-week notice. They don't need to give you a two-week notice. If you don't feel like working there anymore, you day, see you later, clock out, and say goodbye. And it applies to the, now, of course, you can't be terminated because of your race or some other similar type of demographic, obviously, but if they just decide they eliminate your position with no reason given, that's cool. It goes both ways. And certainly in today's economy, employers certainly should value workers, but sometimes that isn't quite the case.
Yeah, but if you walk out during your shift, there's no law against it, but you can't use them for a reference. And when you go to your next job and you're filling out your job history, which I've never seen an application that didn't have a job history, when you try to fill out, well, where have you been the last 10 years? Where have you been working?
Right. Well,
they're going to ask you that, and they're going to call them, and they're going to say, well, they walked out in the middle of a shift.
But you know, speaking about broadcasters, people in that kind of business walk out. Sometimes rather famously.
Not many of them. Not many of them, and that's why it is famous, because so few ever do it.
Right. You kind of want to make an impact, and I guess it could be considered part of your personality, and that you're someone who will take a chance, and it's my way or the highway.
Now, I think walking out during a broadcasting shift is kind of shabby. I think that you would really have to have been cheesed off about something. Now, there are cases and times where I've thought it was okay because of just the situation, but that's very rare. But what I'm saying is about broadcasters is that there are broadcasters that are integral. Now, a lot of times that's advertising dollars, and a lot of times that's just somebody who can attract a lot of listeners. So even though you are the employee, or you are not the boss, that employer better not get a huge ego and say, well, I can do without that person. Because, okay, that's fine. Let them walk away. But in 2 weeks, when you can't fill that hole and you're losing listeners by the truckload and your supporters and sponsors are dropping off by the truckload, you're going to be out of business and you're not going to have a job. And that is where you want to be.
Yeah, it goes both directions. But it's just part of our economy, part of the free enterprise system.
Yeah, but what I'm and not so much about broadcasting. What I'm talking about with all these jobs available now, the employers better catch a clue that they cannot still treat employees as if, you know, you're lucky to have this job, because that was always how they did it.
You're only as good as your workers, for sure, and a worker is allowed to take his or her skills and go elsewhere, or start his or her own business. Which
right, but if
many
but if,
people do, myself included.
Right, but if there are so many,
that's how I started my business.
If there are so, there are just too many options in 2022. You know, you cannot treat somebody like this. You know, you cannot come in and bark at somebody now. If you're a new employee and you're a manager barking at somebody, I mean, I don't even understand why you would do that, because of course they're going to leave, because they drove in and saw 7 help wanted signs on the way to work today. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, it depended upon the economy, and right now, all is in one side of the court, instead of the other, and employees should be valued. Sometimes they're not, and a smart employer will, within reason. You don't want to go overboard, but you want to balance it. But certainly show people that they're welcome, that this person should work here instead of at the competitor or a different line of work or starting his or her own business. Now, that's always an option now. You know, we have this gig economy that said something kind of new. And can people just work that way? Or should they keep where they are, keep old reliable, which means you get your benefits, you get your vacation? Is the grass necessarily greener on the other side? And that, it makes HR a difficult field. Right now, it's the most difficult. You have to keep good people, and you gotta find people in case you expand or someone leaves or retires. It's a very slippery slope we're on, and it's not something that I could do. And
it's
people that are doing it.
I love that we tape everything at this station, because back in 2015, 2016, there was a great debate that we were having on the air week after week after week. People were calling in about the $15 minimum wage. When that first became something, people were just nuts that that was awful, that was horrible, it was going to destroy the economy. Anybody who would want to do that was nuts, and I did not say it was good. But what I would say to the callers is I would say, eventually, if you don't pay people more, they are not going to do these jobs anymore. We are going to get to that point because the minimum wage is not on par with the living wage. And it's not. It's still not today. And if we don't raise these wages, something bad is going to happen. Well, it did. And it came in the form of the pandemic. It came in the form of the baby boom generation retiring, whatever you blame this burst in jobs on. And now businesses aren't being forced by the government to raise their wage. They're being forced because they can't get anybody to take the jobs. And most people are offering starting wages at $14, $15 an hour now, when the minimum wage is still, what, $8, $9 an hour. And it's interesting that it has not crippled the economy. Because what I always said was that if you make $9 an hour, you spend $9 an hour. How many people have savings? And if you make $15 an hour, you're going to spend $15. Well, where does that money go? Goes back into the restaurants, goes back into the stores.
We have a problem here, people living paycheck to paycheck. You got to save for a rainy day. That's real important.
But savings interesting because savings does not help the economy. So if you're an economic person and you do have some expendable income, if everybody socked it away, the economy would tank.
Yeah, I think we're learning, Scott, economics, just like HR, are fascinating fields. And you learn by experience, you'll learn by formal education.
Well, it's interesting. Okay. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, Lee asked about the FTMM, things going on there and the CDC. Lucas will be on with me very soon.
Oh, boy.
He's been an integral part of it. And
okay, I have some questions about this. Maybe you can pass to him. Here's what I don't understand. And honestly, none of this ever was anything to me because I'm not flying, and it's kind of a moot point for me as a person. But here's what I never understood. Okay, now, how many people sued the government? It was in the thousands, wasn't it?
It was quite a bit. This was a different organization, but certainly what he did had an influence.
Well, I don't know if it did or not. I didn't see that on any news report, but there were thousands of people who sued the government. Now, I looked at this very closely. This is what I don't understand. A federal judge overturned it 2 weeks before it was going to happen anyway. It was going to happen, I believe.
We got to set a precedent that it would never happen again.
But that precedent hasn't been
beforehand.
But now hold on.
Every day we have this.
But know. Now wait a second. But that's not true. If you listen to the report, the Biden administration looked at it and said they could go to the Roberts Court, and the Roberts Supreme Court has ruled with the presidents on this one. They did not do it. They chose not to do it because there was only 2 weeks left on it anyway. And many people were saying that if the numbers pick up again, they will go to the Roberts Court and get this judge's decree overturned. What I don't understand is that what, I mean, nobody's going to get any money out of this because of the way it was done. All that happened was a federal judge overturned a rule. She didn't do it retroactively. She didn't say it was illegal the whole time. She just said, well, now you can't do it. From now on, you can't do it. I'm overturning it. So all these lawsuits got nobody any money. They did not take the time back that people couldn't fly. They just overturned something 2 weeks early. What in the grand scheme of things was the point of the lawyers and the lawsuits and the money that these people had to spend to get this done?
Every day of the FTMM is expensive. Red tape, which comes back to you and me and others as taxpayers. Resources wasted. It's an embarrassment. And it's stupid because masks aren't healthy. They don't work any more than a negligible amount against the
virus. Right, but I don't think this is a mask conversation.
And they're unhealthy, mentally and physically.
Again, that
needs to be said. This should never. This should. This is the bill in Ohio.
Now wait a
guys.
Second, Adam.
Never
but wait,
Now, first of all, we have to say that's an opinion. Now, you'll say it's fact, but it is an opinion.
It is fact.
Okay, yes. Well, other people have different opinions. So the point, all I'm saying is that what was gained? I don't quite understand what was gained by the lawsuits and the money that these people had to spend. It isn't even a court case where you can sue the government for damages. What did they gain?
If nothing else, a precedent is set. Just like the legislation in Ohio, this should never have happened. There's no basis in science. It goes against everything that America stands for on my end. And I don't ever want to see an FDMM or something similar again.
Do you believe that if the numbers went up again or a new variant came in, that the Biden administration would not go to the Supreme Court and the Roberts Court?
Pass Biden and Fauci and their cronies. Almost anything, but they really should watch their back.
Well, I just don't get it. I guess I don't understand what was gained by it. I'm just confused because it's not even a Supreme Court ruling.
Oh, Scott, I heard don't understand, then it dropped.
I said, I don't, it's a...
Hello,
are you still there?
You're here.
Well, I think we lost that. Adam, if you're out there, call us back. Or if anybody else wants to weigh in, 740-751-4038. And honestly, I don't have a dog in this fight about masks. I don't, it's not a thing for me right now. All right, let's go here.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
It's Adam again.
Okay, well, no, what I wanted to say was that what I don't understand is this was not a Supreme Court ruling, which is final and can't be overturned by an administration. This was done by a judge in Florida. And if it was taken to the Supreme Court, it could be overruled. And if you look at the rulings on mask wearing and the coronavirus by the Roberts Supreme Court, they have stood by the orders from the CDC and the Biden and Trump administration. So I guess I don't understand. I mean, how much did Lucas spend on this? That's what I want to know.
The legal process, Scott, is beyond my knowledge. But even if it's just semantics, it's still an important decision. And I'm glad it happened. He spent a lot of time and money.
Right. But for what?
It's an important cause. It's an important cause. We need to make sure people know. It's embarrassing to think that this ever happened. And, again, nothing else set a precedent. That's what I believe he'll say, but I'll ask him that. That's a great question, and I'll defer that to him because he knows more because he's involved directly, and he certainly has more legal knowledge.
Right, but I guess my questions would be...
I'll say, Judge Mizell, she certainly stood her ground, and I admire her. She's a young judge. People have criticized her for being young and inexperienced. I'm certainly a fan.
Well, I guess all I'm saying, what I don't understand is how much money did he spend? How much money is he going to be able to recoup, which I don't think is any? And when all those people filed the lawsuits, I guess it didn't seem like that's what overturned this. It seemed like what overturned it was a judge. Does anybody even know what case she was looking at? Because she had to be looking at a specific case. In Florida.
Right. It was another anti-FTMM group.
Right. So the case that Lucas filed had no pertinence at all. It was done on a single case.
I think they were aware of it, and we're on the same team.
I would guess if you call Judge Mizell's office and say who Lucas Wall is, they would have no clue.
Yeah, I'll ask him. You can do me a favor, Scott. Email me the questions to ask him, and I will get be sure those are gotten to him and answered.
Okay.
Like myself, you know. He's thorough. Yeah, email those questions so I don't forget, because they are good. And I'd like to know also.
When's he going to be on?
Can't really speak. I'm hoping next week.
It just, to me, like I said, I don't have an opinion on it. I really don't, one way or another. I have not flown in...
This relates to public transportation. I think of our friend Sarah. I'd like her to comment, because she's a provider of public transportation. I assume she is now barefaced, and... What does she think about it? In anybody else in that business, I'd be interested in hearing.
Well, it's
so, Sarah, you're listening. I'd like to hear what you have to say, so please do call.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Have a good day, Scott.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. Any thoughts on this whole thing? And again, I don't want to have the mask conversation because people get very warm about that. And it's good that the numbers are lower than they have been, and people seem to be out, and that's all good. But this whole ruling in regard to public transportation and airplanes and things of that nature, I guess I'm just confused on what the goal was. So here we are. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I'm sure that a lot will be said about that as time goes on. Don't forget Tony Danza this weekend at the Palace, Stories and Standards. April 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available, 740-383-2101. Colonial Coin Laundry, having their laundry ministry this weekend, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the locations on Bell Fountain Avenue and Main Street. Don't miss that. Oh, and we've still got our Family Feud question here we don't have an answer for. The Family Feud question was, name things you spend lottery winnings on. Now, the answers we have are mansions, vacations, payoff debts, cars, and education. There is still one answer left. What is it? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Also, does anybody have any thoughts on the whole job situation? That we have so many jobs now that people are going to have to start treating people a little differently. That you cannot treat people like you're so lucky to have this job now. You better treat people as if you're lucky to have them. Go ahead, caller.
Sir, you're more interested than driving here. That doesn't say much, I guess. But somebody said investments, but you wanted to be more specific. That answer wasn't given yet?
Somebody said investments, but this is a type of investment.
Okay, I just like stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That's kind of a boring answer, but is that it? Savings bonds?
Not that, but a good guess.
Okay, well, I thought I would try, but it is an investment. So stocks and bonds is close, but that's not right.
It's an investment. I don't know if stocks and bonds are close, but it's an investment.
Okay, well, I will keep thinking. Thank you.
All right. Again, yeah, the final answer, things you would spend your lottery winnings on, it is an investment. I'll say that. 740-751-4038, a type of investment. And again, the answers that were already given, mansions, vacations, payoff debts, cars, and education. Can anybody think of any other investments? 740-751-4038. You know, I'll tell you what. I think we did get our Tony Danza music fixed here. So maybe while you think on this, I will let you hear a song from the show that will be at the Palace. Well, we'll take the call first. Then we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
How about a franchise of some sort?
Not a franchise, but you know, it's almost the answer. If you were starting a franchise, what essentially would you be doing?
Starting a business.
That's what it is. Start a company is actually what it says. So what'd you make of, what do you make of Adam and employment and every conversation we're having here this morning?
Well, I think the mass thing is, I don't see why people are against it. I mean, sometimes you have to do what's right for the country. That'd be just like during World War II, you know, they had rationing. Well, what are you going to do, sue the government because you like it? And, you know, you want to be rationed, you know, or wiped out, you know, at a certain time, you know, well, I don't know. You know, I just, there's times you have to do what's necessary.
Well, I guess, you know, again, I really don't have an opinion on the mask thing in general. But what I'm confused about with this ruling is the mandate was coming off in 2 weeks. And it's just been set by a state judge. So it could be overturned by the Supreme Court.
Well, I heard it was a Trump-appointed federal judge.
I believe Trump did appoint her, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't quite understand. If you pay this money to get a lawyer, and you pay this money to sue the government, and thousands of people are doing it already, and all it is an overturn of a decision that's not retroactive, what in the end do you get? I mean, you can't recoup the money you spent on the lawyer. It's not a civil case. What are the damages? I guess I don't understand what the point is in the end.
Right, just for the 2 weeks.
Yeah, just for the two weeks.
Yeah, you know, let the 2 weeks go by. You know, it's over, done. You know.
Well, I guess I understand the purpose of the lawsuit was to overturn the ruling. And I guess it did do that. But in the end, what do you, was it worth being out all that money? I mean, you're not going to get the time back that you couldn't travel. You're not going to get I'm not sure what you get. I really don't know, except from a temporary stay that you don't have to wear it on transportation. I'm not sure beyond that what you get.
Well, I didn't agree with the Republicans taking away the governor's powers. They not only took away DeWine's powers, they're taking away every other governor after him.
Well, it is interesting how...
You know, there are some people that really hurt, you know, when the orders was out, but a lot of businesses have done really well. This work thing, I tell you, it's great. It's a great time to be a kid after school.
You know what?
I have two nephews that are working full time for Honda.
You know what I've learned over the last couple years is that I used to think that people had open minds, and that I guess I should say that if you talk to them. Not everybody's going to switch their mind, but at least people will understand your thought, and maybe it will change their mind. But people, that's become the rarity now. Once people believe something, they become fanatical about their belief, and they will not even hear what anybody else has to say.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you fix anything if you do that. It's a very strange world that we live in that way. You know, it's like if I've done it this way forever, it's got to be this way forever.
Here's something funny with these politicians on TV. J.D. Vance, they're trying to make him out as a never-Trumper and, you know, different things he said about Trump. And then Trump has come out and endorsed him.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, I'm
That's
glad
funny,
you.
You know?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, the Trump rally in Delaware, I'm sure will be well attended tomorrow. But these commercials for these politicians, and I've seen the J.D. Vance one that you're talking about, where they talk about him being a never-Trumper and now Trump has endorsed him. But the Josh Mandel commercials. The guy who's running against Josh Mandel, his commercials.
Oh,
these commercials are vicious. They are vicious. I've never seen commercials like this. And I've seen a lot of angry political commercials. They are at an all-time high. And they're attacking people in their own party. This isn't even the general election.
Yeah. You know,
the one commercial says... The other two candidates about came to blows during the debate.
DeWine's taking all advantage of that intel thing.
Oh, he certainly, those seem to be where his commercials are. well, and he's got COVID right now, and his wife has COVID, which is interesting that they are showing symptoms. I found that to be interesting, that, you know, that's kind of been glazed over. I hope they're doing well. That's unfortunate that they're both showing minor symptoms, I think.
Well, I think one good thing now compared to 2 years ago is a lot more people get it, are getting it, but they survive it well.
Well,
you know, some people have long-term effects, but, you know, most people have gotten it and have survived it pretty good with the new treatments and stuff that they've found, you know, found to do for it.
Well, I guess the irony in that to me is most people are attacking Governor DeWine for being too, I don't know if they're calling him cautious or overstepped his bounds when it came to COVID, but that's what they're criticizing him for. And yet, here this guy who's supposed to be so protective and so for the regulations against COVID gets it. So how protective and following the regulations can he be? He obviously did something that he shouldn't have done.
Yeah, he must not have his mask on, huh?
Well, I don't know. I wonder.
Columbus hasn't had a mask mandate for a while, or the state.
I think that's fascinating that he and his wife, who are both, you know, in their 70s, which is the high risk group, got COVID and are showing minor symptoms and have to go into quarantine, when this is supposed to be the guy who was so for the precautions, yet obviously some precaution was not met.
Yeah, but if everybody else ain't doing precautions, it's not going to help you either.
Well, and then there's that.
If there's more people, if everybody was still wearing masks and, you know, the social distancing was still, you know, adhered to and talked about, teams might not have it.
You know, I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting road to go down. I hope they're okay.
Adam didn't mention that song. He must not know that.
No, he must not know Love Potion number 9.
Yeah.
I say it's only about a minute song. It's a very quick song, but that must be... He's focused on other things this morning, I think.
I wonder what year that come out.
You know, I don't know. Maybe somebody will look it up and tell us.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. Well, again, phone lines are open. I heard somebody beeping in there, 47 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038. And the last answer in our category, name things you would spend lottery winnings on, was start a company. That was the last one. We had mansions, vacations, pay off debts, cars, education, and start a company. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Do want to mention again the Colonial Coin Laundry Ministry tomorrow, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Colonial Coins on Bell Fountain and Main Street. 740-751-4038. All right. Well, as I said, we do have one of these songs here that will be in the Tony Danza. Hopefully this works. We'll hope it works. The Tony Danza program at the Palace tomorrow night. Here we go. Go get 'em, Tony. Let's hope.
And I have a songwriter friend. His name is Artie Butler. He's an orchestrator, songwriter, amazing piano player. And he wrote a song. It was kind of obscure. He played it for me one day, and the name of it is "I Don't Remember Ever Growing Up." And I thought, well, this could be an anthem. So I'd like to do it for you. I remember many things, like summer skies and fireflies, just simple things, like the little symphony you hear each time a robin sings. Oh, I remember many things. It wasn't very long ago. Peter Pan and I would fly away and go to that very strange enchanted place that only children know. No, it wasn't very long ago. Dancing in the moonlight to your favorite song, dreaming dreams that dreamers often do, waiting for the day that special someone comes along. Oh, how I'd love just one more chance to dream that dream and dance that dance. Memories I still embrace, like hiding from the world inside my secret place. And the way I'd laugh when clowns would smile and make a funny face. These are memories I can't erase. Certain someone comes along. Oh, how I'd love just one more chance to dream that dream and dance that dance. When I go to sleep at night, I think of what I've done and hope I've done it right. 'Cause now I'm so aware of how life goes by at twice the speed of light, leaving you with just your memories. These memories I'll treasure all my life, because I've lived and I've filled my cup. Oh, I remember many things, but I don't remember ever growing up.
Tony Danza at the Marion Palace Theater tomorrow night, Standards and Stories. April 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are still available, 740-383-2101. And again, our winners were, for a pair of tickets each, were Maria Turoff and Judy Jackson. So I hope Maria and Judy and whoever they take with them to the shows will enjoy that tomorrow night. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, those songs were played with permission of Tony Danza's people. So there you go. All right. Well, does anybody want to say anything about Marion City Schools? We had a long conversation about that yesterday and had Dr. Ron Arusi, the superintendent, on. Basically, they can't find a new board member. They can't agree upon a new board member, I guess, is the issue. So that's going to go to Judge Fregali's court. And apparently, according to Judge Fregali, this has never happened. So how this is going to happen, we're not really sure, but that's where that is. Discipline. I think the headline in the paper yesterday was the school is split. The school board is split on the discipline crisis. Dr. Arusi said he didn't feel that way, but there seems to be some issues with discipline in the schools. Is that hurting the school district? I don't know. Any thoughts? 740-751-4038. And the other big conversation yesterday was about the Dr. William Husel case down in Columbus, not being found not guilty on all 14 counts of murder. Not guilty. What will he be able to do now? Has his life been ruined? I know the civil cases are coming out. You know what I can't figure out? Again, the patients were critically ill. They were in the ICU. I mean, I've been around people who've been critically ill. Doesn't the doctor come out and tell you what's going on? I guess I don't quite understand what happened here. And how do they know that this extra dose of fentanyl killed these people? I mean, maybe I have not paid that close attention to the trial. But, I mean, were autopsies done on these people? Maybe I've missed it. I don't know. Let me know. 740-751-4038. 55 minutes past the hour. Because didn't somebody argue in the trial that, a doctor, I believe, argued in the trial that the dose was not a lethal dose? I really don't know. Help me out. 740-751-4038. Or can anybody tell me what year Love Potion number 9 came out? The year. Well, here's another trivia question I had. Let's see how good you are. I learned this the other night. I had no idea about this question until I saw a show on television the other night on the History Channel. Which restaurant first used the drive-up window? You know, where a car goes through, get your food. Which restaurant was the first restaurant to use the drive-up window? 740-751-4038. And don't Google it. Let's see how smart you are. I did not know the answer to this until till Monday night, I think is when I saw that. 740-751-4038. Getaway Friday, April the 22nd, 2022. Maybe everybody's out in the yard today. 56 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Beautiful day out there. I'll be on tonight with Angie, I believe. 8:10 till 10 p.m., so don't miss that here on the station. Lot of topics to discuss tonight. 740-751-4038. Who had the first drive-up window? Here's a little more. We have one more Tony Danza song. It's a minute 16. Here we go. Go get him, Tony. Well, maybe.
As long as I'm singing, there's a bell up in my brain that's ringing, making a crazy ding-dong. And if this band don't desert me, then there's nothing in this world can hurt me. As long as I'm singing my song. Give me a piano, put some strumming with it, strings, pizzicato, and some rhythm. Oh, as long as I'm singing, then the world's all right and everything's swinging. Long as I'm singing my song. A do 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 dweep, do dweep, 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 yeah, scoop-a-doop, bop, bop. Cause me and music, we go together like notes in a measure. Long as I'm singing, then the world's all right and everything's swinging. Long as I'm singing my, long as I'm singing my, long as I'm singing my song.
Hey, Tony Danza at the Palace tomorrow night, April 23rd. Tickets are still available, 740-383-2101. Give us a call. Who had the first drive-up window? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 58 minutes past the hour. I saw about three people called in there. If that was you, dial us up. Don't forget the Laundry Ministry at Colonial Coin Laundry, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., at the locations on Bell Fountain Avenue and Main Street. 58 minutes past the hour. Give us a buzz back here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Are you out there in listener land? Three calls during the song, and now we've dried up. 59 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. Does anybody know who had the first drive-up window? All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I can't hear you very good. Say again.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I got you now. I just came in the house, and I heard John there. I didn't know you were going to be on the second part here, but I don't know the answer to the drive-up window. But you know, a long time back, before this and that was going on, I don't know what it was. But remember you and Charlie when you was talking, he was on the air, and they had a big controversy about out there, in Mallard Square, out there where you had a drive-up window, but it was an old window.
You're listening
there
to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. Okay. The voices you want to hear from Mr. McFeely.
And you talked about that window. Well, I was out by there, like I say, and I was going to call you on one of the shows, but I just forgot all about it. Did you know they moved Lee Garden? That's old history now. Did you know that they moved, though?
No, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah. There was a sign, and I was just messing around out there and going around and looking at that skate rink over there. I don't even know the name of that. And I was nosing around there, and I went by there at Lee Gardens, and they had a sign on the window. So I parked the car. It was on a Sunday morning. I got out and walked up there, and they said they moved to up Findlay, Ohio. And when I drove real slow at that little pickup window or whatever it may be, and always a controversy, that in the drive-thru, and they argue. You know how everybody argued on the air about that. And that was just a little, and I don't know yet today if that was a drive-up window where you could order and pick up both, or if you called in an order and just pick up a call-in order. I don't know about that, but I just thought I'd mention that to you. That, yeah, they moved up to Findlay, Ohio, they said.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That's been way back in the wintertime, or Charlie was maybe off here by then or not, but I just thought I'd mention it to you. But I don't know what that is today. Did you ever visually see that situation out there at Lee Garden?
You know, I did see the window, and my contention was that, you know, you could not drive up and order something and then go up to the window. I think, I see, I don't really know what the situation was, but to me, that's not a drive-through window.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about, the drive-through. Well, it surely, let me take a guess on that, but it surely, in my mind, I would think it would be like McDonald's, one of the first McDonald's or something fast food in Marion. And I bet you 100% somebody had a privately owned business, and is that maybe a hint if we could, is that a franchise? With the big boys or just an independent person?
It's a bigger name, but it's not McDonald's.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Good to hear from you. Bye-bye. We got to go to break. We'll be back. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.